What's up, family? You are tuned into Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. From KPFA Radio and the Pacifica Network, I'm your host, Kat Brooks.
Kat Brooks is out this week. I'm Brian Edwards-Tiekert, trying to fill those shoes. The militarized immigration sweeps in Los Angeles, they have started to drop out of national headlines coverage, but there has been no comparable drop-off in the actual raid. So we wanted to have a conversation about what the last 5 weeks have looked like from the streets and the impacted communities. So we've invited on Jeanette Viafana, who is a multimedia journalist at LA Taco, covering street vending communities in Los Angeles. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Excited to have this talk.
Why don't you start by kind of situating yourself for us? Tell us how a street food beat turned into a immigration enforcement beat.
Yeah, I think for me, it's always been an immigration conversation because a lot of the community that I cover is undocumented. So they've talked to me, you know, about back, at least for street vendors that have been here for decades and have kind of seen the change throughout the city over the years. I remember them talking to me about like years back when they were in similar situations as they are now, which is not just watching over their shoulder for the health department, but also watching over their shoulder for police. For ICE, immigration. And a lot of them, when I've asked, you know, like, can you compare the two? Is it worse? Is it the same? A lot of them say it's worse. It's worse because it's a lot more aggressive. You know, I think people forget immigration and ICE and being detained, like that's always been around. But I think everyone can agree that not in the way that it is right now and not as aggressive and as inhumane as we're seeing it.
Street vendors would seem to be particularly vulnerable because if you want to sell food, you have to be literally out on the street advertising your presence.
Correct. Yes, they're extremely vulnerable. And I mean, they have had to develop their own, how do I explain it, like their own safetiness and safety routines and groups. They've had to have watchdogs, essentially, equipped with walkie-talkies to make sure that, you know, that they keep their community safe. In Los Angeles, there's street vendors that sell by themselves, and then there's street vending communities. So they organize. They organize so that they can, at the very least, be able to, you know, leave in time without immigration getting them.
You posted a story about a month ago about how a lot of undocumented vendors are having their children take over and run their operations because the kids have citizenship.
Yes. So I wrote a story on Don Cuco, which is a TJ-style taco stand in Los Angeles. It's very beloved. The family, the parents are very loved in the community. So when we heard that their kids were taking over, not just the owners, but the other people that work with them, like their kids were stepping in, it was heartwarming and also sad because, you know, they're having to step in, and they talked about the difficulties of running a stand and having to figure it out, and how that first week there were, you know, there was no handmade tortillas because they didn't know how to do that. So they were having to learn the ropes in a day, right? And there's real fear. I mean, there is real fear. There was a raid that happened down the street from where they're located, and that's essentially what made them say, you know what? Let's all meet as a family, and we're deciding to have the kids take over because there's a real fear. There was a taco truck down the street whose employees got taken. So that really was what made them switch to having the kids working.
It also requires pulling kids out of school.
Correct. In some cases, depending, you know, their age, even if they are older, some of them are going to college. And if they are going to college, this is basically overtime work. You know, they go to school. And then if the taco stand is operating in the evening, they're going to school during the day. And working in the night, and it's pretty long shifts, depending on the weekday, anywhere from like 5 to 11, 5 to 12. It depends on, you know, how many people come in and how much meat they have that they're trying to sell.
You've been following some people from the streets through the detention system. Tell us about Emma DePaz.
Yes, Emma. Her story has been covered. It just came out yesterday. My coverage, I focus a lot on how she was an organizer. She still is an organizer. In the community, she, for decades, has organized day laborers. And as she learned herself the permitting system in Los Angeles, what kind of things you need for to be a food vendor, what kind of things do you need to be a merchant vendor, she taught many communities, not just the ones in Hollywood where she sold and where she was eventually detained, but she helped communities across Los Angeles. I tell you this because I've talked to vendors in different areas of LA just when I'm checking in to see how everyone's doing. And they have all told me about Emma, how much Emma, they have gone into tears because they can't believe that she was taken. This is somebody that they've gotten to know, somebody who has been helped by her. And she's taking these organizing skills and implementing them inside. So while she's detained in there, while she's fighting for her own release and for proper medical care, she is helping others in there. She is letting them use her minutes so they can contact their family. Because as you know, many people are picked up without notice. And if they're not able to contact their family, she'll write down their contact information, share it with her daughter when she talks to her, and then her daughter will reach out to the family of those who are detained with her.
Which facility is she being held in?
She is being held at the Adelanto Detention Center.
And what process is she in the middle of? Does she have a pending asylum claim?
She currently has only had two court dates, and it hasn't been any movement right now. What they're trying to, the family's goal, the last that I heard of them, is to be able to get bail. But as you know, I think it was the Washington Post that recently came out with a report that the Trump administration wants to eliminate bail for folk who are detained. It doesn't matter how many years you've been here or what the case is, but they're still going to fight. Their goal is to get her to get her out so she can fight her case while being with her family.
Can you describe kind of what level of organization of communication networks exist within the street vendor community in Los Angeles?
Yeah, I mean, they all have their own, like I said, there's community hubs of street vendors, and they all have, you know, their group chats. They also work with organizations like Community Power Collective, and Inclusive Action for the City, and many other organizations that directly help street vending or street vendors. But they have, you know, they mobilize quickly. They have to. I can give you an example. I won't say what location, but in one of the areas of Los Angeles, there's a street vending hub that sets up on the weekends. And they have organized themselves to where those who have papers are on the outer corners, and those who don't have papers are kind of in the middle. And that is in the event that ICE is spotted or anything, the people or the vendors on the outside who do have papers can kind of stall or protect the ones that are kind of in the middle. So they're having to organize. They're having to organize and figure out what works best for them, those who have papers, how they can assist and help those who don't. But the fear is out there, even for people who do have papers, because as we've seen, you know, like, let's call it what it is. ICE is racial profiling folk. It's not like they're stopping them and asking them questions and showing paperwork. They're simply snatching people.
What kind of relationship did these vending communities have to local police before the Trump administration moved in?
I think it's been a mix for vendors at MacArthur Park. They've had some issues since January because of some fencing that went up. There was a shooting that happened in the area. Fencing went up, and a lot of them were displaced to a different part of the area. And they've said that they've been harassed or kicked out by police, and that's just in that area. In other areas, it's kind of a mix. Some have had issues with police, and others, they're like, they don't bother us, we don't bother them. Most of them, yeah, most of them, as of a couple of months ago, have not had issues with police. I think when they do talk about having issues with police is back then when street vending was still not legalized and there wasn't anything in place to kind of recognize street vendors. Now they have a lot more protections. I feel like they could have more, but they do have protections. They do have rights as street vendors. So they can't come for them as much as they used to. But yeah, I think it depends on the area and what's happening in the area. Like the example that I gave of MacArthur Park.
And in terms of the nationality of immigrants who are street vending, are they coming from all over, or is it like specific countries their immigrant networks have taken up street vending?
Oh, they come from everywhere, from Mexico, from Puebla, from Guatemala. They're from everywhere. And you can see it in, obviously, more so with the food that they sell. But yeah, they come from all parts.
You mean you can see it in the difference between an arepa stand and a burrito stand?
Yes, you can see it. And a lot of them are very proud of, you know, I mean, naturally, everyone is proud from where they're from. But LA is their home. But you'll see them, they'll put their little flags proudly letting you know, like, what type of food they're selling and where it's from. And they'll talk to you about it when you're ordering. But yeah, LA is their home.
Has anybody just left street vending altogether to reduce their risk of being swept up in a raid?
Yes. A lot of them have told me that they have not sold for like a month or longer simply because they're scared. They don't know what can happen. A lot of them are scared, especially because of the federal agents who aren't identifying themselves. I think when I interviewed folk at MacArthur Park, one of them said they're scared of being disappeared, meaning that they get picked up by someone who isn't immigration, is just someone impersonating somebody.
Someone impersonating immigration to exact violence against the vendor, non-state violence.
Yeah, correct. They're scared. And naturally, I mean, we've seen the videos of people not identifying themselves. And I mean, if you go on Amazon, you can easily purchase a bulletproof vest. You can easily purchase the police little sticker that goes onto the vest. So they are scared. And in a situation that's like very fast, you know, they're not going to be able to identify, oh, is that really police? Is that not? So they're scared. They definitely.
What's behind that? Is that something that's actually happening? People impersonating ICE officers, or is that the trauma of coming from a country where paramilitaries actually disappeared people?
I think because of the videos that they have seen circulating, I think in one instance, I'm not sure if it was Huntington Park, where there was a gentleman who allegedly was caught dressed up, you know, he had guns and he had a bulletproof vest. And they said that he was allegedly impersonating or dressed like that to go and take action and arrest people. He came out to say that that's not what he was doing, and that story is still kind of in limbo. But they hear these things, they watch them on the news, and they get scared. You know, they naturally get scared, and they're just extra cautious about what cars they see in the area. Are they tinted? Do they have weird license plates? Are they slowing down? You know, I've had vendors who tell me they get really bad anxiety when they notice a car slowing down near their stand, which just shows the mental toll that this entire situation has had on the street vending community, but as a community as a whole.
It seems like the big coverage-grabbing protests against the ICE raids have kind of died back, but there are still more spontaneous protests every time they move in force. Like, who's showing up to protest when those masked, body-armored, camouflage-wearing ICE agents start snatching people off the street?
There's great organizations or groups like Unión del Barrio who have been completely on the ground from day one and organized quickly to get there before everything's gone, right? Because a lot of these things is you get a tip of like ICE is in this area, and by the time you get there, boom, everything's already happened, everything's gone. But they have done such an amazing job of mobilizing regular community members to not just spot ICE, but know what to do when they spot them. And they show up. They, in some cases, have actually stopped ICE from taking somebody. And other response networks.
Like physically obstructed the ICE agents?
Not physically obstructed, but with their voice and the rights that they know that they have stopped them from leaving. So not physically, like, putting a car or anything like that, or physically obstructing them, but with their voice, asking for paperwork, asking for, you know, telling the person that is being detained that they don't have to talk to them, that they don't have to sign anything. And eventually you just see, and this is all on video. If you go to their Instagram account, you can see some of these examples. But yeah, they stopped them, and not, again, not physically, but just with their voice and knowing their rights, and just just continuing to repeat that to them, to the point where I'm assuming they get overwhelmed and they leave.
You mean like barking out, you don't have to answer any of the questions they're asking you, things like that?
Yeah, you don't have to answer any of the questions. And then let's see your badge number. Let's see your ID. Identify yourself. Because they should be doing that.
Yeah. What kind of conversations have there been about the big Republican budget bill that just upped future funding for ICE to slightly more than the budget of the entire Canadian military?
Yeah. I mean, the simple way that I can put it, people were already scared. Now they're wondering, what is it going to look like? If the last month or so it has been extremely aggressive, what is that? Is it going to ramp up, you know, now that they have the budget to stay here or be here longer? What is that going to look like? And they're asking themselves this question week to week, and every time something new comes out. But yeah, I think the question out there for a lot of vendors, and not just vendors, but the community as a whole, is they're wondering how much worse is it going to get? We're starting to see, you know, like you mentioned, they may not, there's still raids happening. I feel like people forget that they're still happening, maybe not as many daily as there was even like a week ago, but they're still happening. And people see the patterns, you know, they get scared. If they slow down, does that mean, and this is based off the conversations that I've had, you know, if they slow down, does that mean that they're getting to do a bigger raid in a week from now? So it's very much up in the air, and people are scared. People are scared because what does more money for ICE mean?
There's lots of account of these ICE raids abducting people who are citizens in addition to people who are undocumented. As a reporter, what types of precautions are you taking when you're in places where ICE is active?
Yeah, and that's very concerning. We always carry not just our press passes, but our identification. I think everyone, even if you're a citizen, everyone is now carrying like a second form of ID, whether that's their passport, their real IDs. In some cases, some carry their social securities with them, social security numbers. Because like you mentioned, they are or they have taken citizens. And I mean, at the protests, it seems like everyone is fair game because they've shot at reporters. They've shot at people who weren't doing anything and on the sidelines. So yeah, you definitely, as a reporter, but also as a community member, it's definitely advice right now to carry a second form of identification just for safety. Because as we've also seen, you can be someone who's observing ICE detaining somebody, and even you can get detained for simply documenting it. Even if you're not physically stopping it, but you're documenting it, you can get detained, as we saw with the gentleman at Walmart.
All right. Jeanette Biafana, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for speaking to us.
Thank you so much for having me.
You've been listening to Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. That's it for this episode, family. You can find more information about topics and guests in this episode's show notes. Law and Disorder is produced at KPFA. That's listener-supported radio on the Pacifica Network. The show is produced by Jesse Strauss and hosted by me, Kat Brooks. Our theme music was composed by Steve Raskin of Fort Knox 5. If you like what you heard, please follow us on social media at Law and Dis, that's D-I-S, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Feel free to holler at us about something you heard or send us a show idea at lawanddisorder@kpfa.org. You can also find our content live at 8 a.m. weekdays on KPFA. That's 94.1 FM in the Bay Area. Our show and all of KPFA's programs are funded exclusively by you, the listener. And if you're in a position to support us, please donate today at kpfa.org. Take care of yourself and take care of each other. We all we got, fam.